You have your fear, which might become reality. And you have Godzilla, which is reality.
I'm sick of Godzilla.
Wake up, Devon!
There are two things you don't know about the Earth. One is me. And the other is Godzilla.
What's that, Jim? No human being could understand that. The monsters on Monster Island could understand it.
Whether he returns or not, or is never again seen by human eyes, the things he has taught us remain.
Well, welcome back, everybody. YHS on Monster Island. We're back. We did it. It's been another 2 weeks.
We're still here.
Dude, I always like, sometimes I'm like, has it been 2 weeks? Sometimes it seems like it's been too long. Like, so, yeah. You know, like this week I was like, did we miss a week or something? Why aren't we recording? Jay, how are you?
You know, I'm pumped, man, because this is our first kind of movie focused one. And I know we said initially that we weren't going to do a lot of these, but this is kind of broader than that because, you know, it's experimental filmmaking and all that. And who better to have that conversation with than with the swinging and sludge slinging sulfuric Superman and the smokestack seizing psychedelic Caesar of 70 smog centric cinema, Mr. Jacob Walsh.
Whoa. Thank you, Jay. That was
alliteration domination right there.
That was beautiful. I want to, at some point we're going to have to cut all of these together in like a super cut. You know what I mean? Like
that would be a long intro.
The end of the year or something. We're just going to do a YouTube video that's just all of the intros.
I love it.
I love it. Thanks, man. Dude, so we'll get into it. Did you you buy any toys this week?
You know the answer to that. Of course I bought a lot of toys. No, you know, I actually the first week, I guess, since the last time we recorded, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go a little lighter. And then I made a big push. And actually, I got 4 things in the mail this week that were for me. They weren't for TokuToyTown.com. They were for Jay's house. And so they're really cool. Actually, they're very different. But I'm really excited with kind of my haul this week. I got a couple of really cool things. So I'll pull them out here. I actually put some of them up here so it'd be easy to grab them.
Okay.
The first one, and I think this was probably the one I'm most excited about. This is Gorosaurus, as we all see, but this is actually the original vintage 1970s Bullmark. So this is one of the original ones. So, you know, we'll talk about today in the show that, you know, Ken's playing with some Bullmark, the 70s Godzilla toy in the scene in Godzilla versus Hedorah. And also you see the giant Bullmark 1970s King Ghidorah in hanging from the shed ceiling.
Hanging from his shrine.
This is from that same line, but from the King Kong Escapes one. So there's a Bullmark McCandy Kong as well, but I don't have that one. That one's pricey. But this is, I know, it's pretty cool, but this is one of my favorites. And then they've redone this mold multiple times. In fact, I have a really cool Marisan Princess Street Store edition of this one, which is kind of clear and red, white, and blue. It's really neat. But this one was cool. So that's the first one I got. The other one looks very similar to the last time we talked. I got another Megalon Safubi. The last one was the Metacom Hastings exclusive. This one's very similar, right? This one is a 2006 Bullmark reissue. It's M1. But it's same sculpt. It's the Bullmark sculpt, but it's this, I love this blue on, it's actually a black mold that it's on top of. I love this coloring. Like I said, similar, to the last one, that I got 2 weeks ago. And then I also picked up from a really great listener, a local, another Dallas Kaiju nerd, Ryan Wilhelm, who actually sold me this bad boy here, which this is a 2002, Marisan reissue, from M1 as well. Of Baragon, and this is the 2002 Wonderfest exclusive. This was a 2-pack with Frankenstein. I don't have the Frankenstein.
Oh, well, you got to get him now.
Of course. It's just a matter of time, right? Yeah. But he gave me an awesome deal. Great dude, amazing guy, and gave me this awesome Baragon here. I didn't give it to you. Sold it to me for a good rate. But I love it. And, you know, these. It's funny, this week, it's a very blue-themed week.
Yeah, those are some good colors.
But then the last one I think you'll get a kick out of, because it is, when we talk about funny coloring and wackiness and everything like that, when it comes to Safubi, it seems to me that I always go out there with my Geigen purchases.
Oh,
and how about this guy? How about this Marisan 45th anniversary from 2017 of Godzilla versus Geigen? This all gold.
Holy Geigen. Shit. Now listen, if you're just listening to the show on audio feed and you're not watching this, then I need you to stop what you're doing. Find the nearest YouTube center. I believe there's one on every street corner. And you need to see this Geigen because it's like, amazing.
It's like old internet cafes. yeah, stop at your local internet cafe.
Exactly.
But yeah, so that was it. So I loved my purchase this week. And, you know, a little bit of vintage, a little bit of just totally out there.
Yeah.
But as we wait on all these pre-orders that we've had, it's nice to actually pick some stuff up that I can actually put on the shelves right away.
For sure, man. That's some good looking figures. And I have to say, like, you know, I respect your Gorosaurus love. Like, that's a figure that's like, that's a good looking figure. He's not for me. I don't think I would ever see myself going into a store and being like, I want the Gorosaurus.
Yeah.
But I'm glad somebody does. I'm like, that's a good looking toy, man.
I don't know why. I have a handful of Gorosaurus toys. I have the Bandai from the Godzilla collection, which is, it's so crazy. That one is a pretty pricey for a Bandai, you know, not late 80s, early 90s vinyl. Yeah. It's like in the over $150. But yep. The vintage Bullmark, I don't, there's something about the little arms and how they sculpted it. It's so very like not accurate all of those, and goofy, but it's great.
There's a charm to all those Bullmark figures. Yeah.
For sure.
Dude, that's some good pickups, man. I'm kind of all over the place. Like, so I got to tell a little bit of a story. You already know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. So
just like last time, I'll act surprised, man. Every time.
Just act like you don't know what I'm talking about. So I went out of town this weekend. I went to Pennsylvania, and while I was there, hit some toy stores, spent a couple days hitting up flea markets and stuff like that. And, you know, there was some kaiju stuff here or there, but on the last day or the day before I was going to go, we hit this one last place. It was kind of far. It actually ended up it being in New Jersey. So went to this place called House of Fun, right? Best toy store I've ever been in. Wow. In my life. And it kind of tricks you because you walk in and the room you're in is not very big. It's set up really nicely. There's kind of, you know, glass cases along the wall. There's VHS on one wall, and there's a good chunk of kaiju stuff here. There's, you know, there's an entire shelf of Ultraman stuff I've never seen before. A bunch of old, you know, Sifubi Godzilla stuff. Like he had a good little collection of Geigens, and there was like books and stuff that I couldn't even tell what it was because it was like, you know, it's in Japanese and it's in a little package. It's just piled on top, stuff on top of stuff. And the thing that sucked about it is because it was a little far away, you know, we kind of got there late in the day. I had 30 minutes to look in this place. And so I see the Godzilla shelves. I'm like, cool, I'm gonna buy some of this stuff. And then I'm informed that this is just this is the small room, that there's more. And I'm like, there's a door in the back, like near the counter. And I thought that was just the door into the office. And they're like, no, there's more. And when you walk through that door, it's like a warehouse.
Yeah.
And dude, Jay, it was like every vintage toy line you can think of, they just had it in packaging. Like I took some pictures. I took a picture where I'm holding some of the Super Mario movie figures in packaging. And then you got Cadillacs and Dinosaurs, Jurassic Park, Beetlejuice, Congo, like real Ghostbusters, Extreme Ghost, like just everything. He had a complete Tyrannosaurus Dino Rider on a shelf. And like, just, it was just, and I was like, I got 30 minutes in here. I almost had a panic attack. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, I bought some stuff, and it's just stuff that, like, I didn't even know what it was. I packed really light, so I couldn't buy anything big.
It's like supermarket sweep.
Yeah, it was really quick. So first of all, I grabbed some Ultraman VHS tapes.
Oh, very cool.
They were kind of cheap, and I just picked them up. So a couple of three Ultraman VHS. One of these says Special 30th Anniversary Collection, Volume 1, Episodes 1-4. I looked this up online, and didn't see any other volume. I'm wondering if this is the only one that came. I didn't do a lot of research, but when I got on eBay, it was just a bunch of volume ones. I'm like, did they make more of these?
Episodes 1 through 4, man, that you get Bimular and Balton and
it's the good stuff.
Naranga, and I forgot who number 4
yeah.
is.
Yeah. So something that caught my eye immediately in that store was this, which I believe you said you have as
I
well.
I do. It's beautiful.
Flicks Godzilla collectible candy machine. It's like a little gumbo. It's a weird gumbo. This very much looks like Trendmasters to me. It's like the Trendmasters logo. That's basically the Trendmasters design, but the packaging doesn't look. Can you tell me what the fuck this is?
I don't know, because I have the same. I truly that was a purchase when I was moving everything into this room here, and I was kind of getting some of the Godzilla stuff up. I was like, I had a spot that I just wanted to fill with random stuff, and I literally went one day and like just scrolled through like eBay on things that were, you know, relatively inexpensive, because this was just kind of like filler stuff. And I saw that. I was like, that's just going to look good on the shelf. The color, that bright yellow and everything, it pops. So I haven't researched it or anything about it, but I just thought it was a great thing to pop on the shelf. Nexus, actually, I have it right next to some Trendmasters and the old Game Boy box art and some other things like that. Yeah, it's cool.
It says 1994 Toho on it. And I mean, it says printed in China, and, you know, it's got like, It doesn't say Trendmasters on it anywhere. So gum product of Canada. So
you can ask Ryan Dole.
Hey, also I want to thank Ryan Dole really quick. I've already thanked him, but the shirt that I'm wearing is actually a crew shirt from 2014 Godzilla, which Ryan worked on, and he's just had this since the movie. This was like crew gear.
That's amazing.
He sent me this. Yeah, and I love it. Thank you, Ryan. Cool. So I also picked up, now this is something that I had 30 minutes. So I was just like grabbing things that were kind of small, you know, and this thing, when I saw it, I didn't question it. I didn't ask what it was. I saw the price and I bought it because I'm trying to get a like a Lit Goji collection going, like cute Godzilla stuff going. And I know that there's a lot of those, Lit Goji has like the eggs that have the Godzilla in them. And I saw this
keychain,
and I
was like, lots of keychains.
I saw this and I said, is this a Lit Goji thing? Or is it just whatever it is, it's going to be cute.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking Godzilla egg. It like has a timer. And when you do the timer, the egg pops off, and it's like a little windy Godzilla.
Oh, awesome.
In there. And I haven't done any research on this thing. I just bought it, and like, it didn't say what it was. It just had a price tag on it. And I said, I'll take the egg. So I bought this guy.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's cool. It clicks in. And like, if you watch it and you set it down and you spin it, like when the timer goes off, the top of the egg like plops out. And then that's the Godzilla amazing. It also, when you wind this, it winds the Godzilla up and he'll walk. Oh,
nice.
So, yeah, I thought that was cool.
That'll look really good as you do your Lit Goji and other similar type aesthetic. That will be a perfect fit.
Exactly. It's going to look good. I did, real quick, I'll just say that I picked up the other two NECA King Kongs, the newer ones that are out. I found those in Atlanta, so I did pick those up, but, you know, we don't really have to. Everybody knows what the NECA goes with. So one more thing, and I didn't research this either, and I'm going to assume that you probably know what it is. I think you have it. So I bought this little guy. You don't have this guy? I bought this little red Gigan. I just like thought he was cool. He was very small. Cool. He had a good little price on him, and I picked it up. Do you know what this is, or who this is?
Does it have a logo on the feet?
I'm trying to look here. It looks like it might. It's completely in Japanese. It seems to be.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Cannot be read by my eyes. Yes. There's no English on this guy. No logo, nothing. I was like, I'll take it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, usually if it's gonna be Marisan, you'll have the SAN in the circle. It could be M1, but I can do some looking at that. I don't recognize it off the top of my head. You know, and the thing is, like, these companies all work together and they do such similar reissues and everything. I don't know. Does it have a date on it?
No. It's literally all not in English, so Yeah, it has nothing that I can discern. So he had a couple bigger Gigans that were maybe like three times the size that looked like they were the same sculpt, basically, but they were painted differently. And I didn't even ask about those. I was like, I'll ask about the small one, see what that price is. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll take the small one.
Can you hold him up one more time? And I'm sorry for those listening. Just, it's an M1. It is an M1.
It's an M1?
So
did you find M1. Him?
I found a different paint job, unless the sculpt is as used across manufacturers, like if it's an old reissue. I don't think it is, but I can do some digging. I found one that's red with a little bit different of a colorway on it, but it's that sculpt with kind of the leaning forward with the hook, the smaller one. Very cool, man. That's awesome.
I like this sculpt because he's, you know, Gigan's silly looking already, but this makes him look like this posture is just kind of ridiculous. So picked him up, dig it, man. I had to have it.
Oh, there he is. Yeah, it's Saiki no de Kaiju M1. There you go, man. I see him. Yep.
We got it. Cool.
We got it. Usually when there's no logo, I usually go M1s. I can do my first case, unless I know it's something else, but just because the other ones usually stamp with a logo.
I'll have to look him up later and find out what he goes for and see if I got like a good price on
if
him.
If you got ripped off.
I'm not really sure, but cool. Yeah, he had a lot of like the Trendmasters stuff and packaging and just... I mean, I would need hours to really look around that place. But yeah, that's what I grabbed, man.
How were the prices? Because I mean, it looked like there's so much stuff. Like, I mean, in for the other lines that you were able to kind of look at, was it fair, kind of normal, kind of toy?
Most of it seemed pricing? Yeah, most of it seemed normal. He had some X Plus stuff in there that seemed all like normal pricing. And, you know, I had somebody ask me, you know, I have a friend, Zach Myers, who's a big fan of the Super Mario Brothers stuff. And he was like, oh, cool, you found a Goomba. And I'm like, no, Zach, like, he's got all of it. It's all here. And he asked me what the prices were. And I was like, hey, I don't even know. I think I might have blacked out while I was in there. So, like, there was so much stuff that it was like, I didn't have time to look at the prices and everything. But when I was looking at the Godzilla stuff, the stuff that I know, it was all like, it was all, you know, right around where I would imagine it would be.
Yeah,
so,
it was retail. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
cool. He did have a set. It kind of, whenever I was going through the glass cases, he was like, he kind of was standing over me a little bit because they were getting ready to, they were getting ready to close, I guess. And, you know, nothing had the prices on it. So I had to ask, and I felt so awkward because there was a section of a bunch of books that I just wanted to look through. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't. He's standing right here. And I'm like, oh, what's this? And he's like, those are Godzilla curtains. And I'm like, oh, what is this? You know, it's like, I need a whole day in that place. But
well, it sounds like a place worthy of a pilgrimage, man. It really
does. House of Fun, New Jersey. I will go back. I will go back to that place.
Yeah.
And I'll make sure that I'm there at opening so I can spend as much time as I want there.
I dig it, man. I dig it. That's awesome. Well, that's a great haul considering that was done in 30 minutes.
Yeah. You know, it was like, I'm trying to think, what can I spend here? What can I fit in my bag on the way home? And I mean, I could barely, like, that's not even that much stuff. And I was still a little like worried about the packing, you know? So,
yeah.
Oh boy. Did you any news or anything like that that you can think of? I feel like it's been kind of a light 2 weeks. I saw some, you know, I saw that there was an American dubbed clip of Singular Point going around today, but I did not watch it. Did you check it out?
I didn't know. I'm really just a little nervous. Like I kind of honestly just want to go to sleep and wake up and it be the 24th, right? And
exactly.
And like, so I've been a little, other than dealing with some toy stuff with them, but like, I've been kind of trying my best to almost ignore anything Singular Point, even if it's like safe and spoiler free. After the official trailer release, I'm so pumped for it that I'm like, you know what? I don't want to take a chance it's going to ruin this like high from this trailer. The trailer I thought was great, and I'm just ready to like start binging it when it drops. So I haven't seen
same. It yet. I've been doing the same kind of thing. Just kind of like, I see it and I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to pay attention to it. I'm just ready. Just like you said, I'm just ready to see it for
me
real.
Too. Oh my gosh.
I will say that that Monster Arts Godzilla Ultima looks great. I like that he comes with like a really, really tiny Jet Jaguar, but
That was actually one of the news items. You're right. It's been pretty light. And it was like, I thought that was cool that they announced and showed all the images of the Ultima. Like, I think it looks great with the mouth expansion and everything. Like I'm not a Monster Arts guy as we found out in the episodes. Like I just
they're trying to get you to.
Oh my gosh. And it's not like I don't like the figures. I mean, their light and posability is amazing and everything like that. It's just, as you know, in the world of kaiju, like you got to pick your battles. Like you got to pick which ones you're going to go down. And I haven't done that, but I think they do great stuff. And I think the prices are usually very fair for the quality that you get. And that figure, with the professional toy photography, at least looks amazing.
Dude, go ahead. Sorry.
I was saying that was like kind of my lead. The biggest thing of the toy news was really that figure. Cause I thought it was like worthy of being a lead story.
Yeah. And those figures, like, everything looks better with their toy photography, but that Monster Arts is a company where their figures always look great.
Yeah.
Like in person, the ones that I have bought, they look great. So
yeah, for sure. Speaking of toys, the other big release that we saw, the Godzilla, The Ride, the Bandai Monster Monster Movie series, the 6-inch line released the Godzilla and the Ghidorah. Like they look great. We talked about on our ride episode now, 2 episodes ago, I guess, how we love the designs. Both of them look great. Yeah. I felt for the 6-inch line, and knowing Bandai, the movie monster series is not the best from sculpts and everything. We get that. I thought the price point was a bit high. I really did, like the $75-$80 a pop.
I did too.
For these guys. Now they could go down. I don't know if they're going to keep them exclusive to the park and it's going to be hard. And then that might be why it might just be smaller production runs.
Yeah.
But I didn't jump on them, but I do like that Godzilla design. And I have a feeling that we'll see more of it as, just because as it progresses. But I just, at this point, that was a little bit of high of a price point for a 6-inch Bandai for me.
I agree. I was kind of, when you sent it to me priceless, I was like, oh, what?
Yeah.
So I'd also like to get them maybe at some point in the future. But yeah, I was just like, no, not now. Not after the X Plus and Hot Toys I got coming. I was like, we're good.
Yeah, well, speaking of price points, the last bit of news I had was just, we talked about it last time, was those was the Prime One Studio diorama when they released the diorama at a cool $6,300 and something dollars. I just...
Dude, this...
That's almost like, that shouldn't even be on our... I think that's priced so high, we're not even allowed to talk about it. That's like a different podcast for luxury items. That's beyond our pay grade.
Dude, that's like something that should be in one of those magazines on an airplane, you know, like everything's super. I got mad when you sent me what that price was. I was like, what? Who's paying almost $7,000 for American Godzilla statue? Like, it looks great. I know it's big. There's a lot of work to go. It's beautiful, but just price is... I cannot believe how much money that fucking thing is, dude.
Yeah.
So
I thought it'd be a couple thousand. I did think it'd be a couple thousand.
Yeah.
If you put like a gun to my head, I would have said like 2,500, not 6,300. That's just,
it's crazy. Man. Yeah. It's crazy.
You said you'd have to sell your house to get it, and you were right.
Yeah. Well, dude, after they revealed how much the busts were, I was like, ooh, I mean, the busts are amazing. The Godzilla bust looks so good. I'm not really a statue kind of guy, but when I saw that thing, I was like, maybe I want this.
Yeah.
Until I found out how much it was. Cool, man. Well, I think maybe we're ready to get into this.
Well, I didn't know if you watched any movies this week.
Oh, right.
I
you know what? I did not, dude. I didn't see anything new. You know what? I ordered a couple of I feel like I have to say this every time we talk about the movies we watch, and it's always going to be like this. I really like movies that are kind of outliers of maybe the kaiju genre.
Yeah.
I really like, you know, whenever I kind of thought about doing YHS on Monster Island, at first I was like, you know what, maybe we'll talk about movies that aren't even kaiju movies. We'll talk about movies that are just monster movies.
Monster movies, yeah.
But I did order two VHS tapes for some like old a movie that's just called Crocodile. Mm-hmm. Came out like in this like 79 or something. Like it's like a Thai film about a giant crocodile.
Of course.
And then I also ordered a VHS for a movie called The Great Alligator, which is, you know, like an old classic, like,
yeah,
giant monster. I just love giant alligator movies. Yeah. So
Alligator Man, was like the 50s Alligator Man? That was
Alligator Man. Yeah, dude, there's way more than I thought there were. And every time I think like, oh cool, I've bought all of these, a friend of mine would be like, hey, I found another one, you know? So there's, I actually, when I was in Philadelphia, I went to the Colonial Theater, which is the theater that the movie The Blob was filmed in. Have you seen the original Blob?
I have seen the original Blob.
So that scene where they run out of the Blob comes into the theater and they run out. That's the Colonial Theater.
Gotcha.
And so when I knew I was going to be there, I checked to see if they were showing anything. And Friday night, they were going to do a one night only showing of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2, which is the best one. In 35 millimeter print. So I went and saw it. And then they showed some trailers, and they showed a trailer for this movie called Killer Crocodile, which is an Italian, not the Thai crocodile. There's an Italian one called Killer Crocodile that I think came out in 1980, maybe something like that. And I had never seen it before. I'd never heard of it. And I was like, I gotta find this. So I'm like in Philly, like on eBay, looking at, like talking to my friend who's the VHS dude, and he's like, oh, that one's gonna be hard to get.
Yeah.
So I ordered a couple of giant alligator / crocodile films, but I didn't watch anything these weeks. So that was a long story to get around to me just asking you, what did you watch?
Well, I have to say that when you guys expand again in the YHS, I feel that you have the podcast about film and media related to alligators, crocodiles, gharials, and caimans totally like ready to go, man. Dude, you want me the expert.
I'm thinking about writing an article that just like, you know, once I get these two in and when I watch whatever ones, I'm like, I'm going to write an article that just ranks all of these old giant alligator movies.
I love it. I love it. And then you get all the Asylum, like the Mega Croc or whatever those are. Super Croc. Yeah. I don't know what those are.
Right.
Well, you know, I want to close the loop from our last episode because I did. I wanted to let everybody know that I actually pre-ordered the next production from HAL from Beyond the Frog that you recommended, the Bunraku style film. So that's on its way in, I believe, July.
Good.
And then I was at the library and I had them interlibrary loan me. It's in process now of Legend of Firefly Marsh.
Cool.
I'm gonna have them send that, so we'll have a copy here in beautiful Grapevine, Texas. But then, you know, because you got me pumped for HAL from Beyond the Fog, I went in and I talked to you about the one that I watched that you can watch online, Kaiju Bunraku. And I rewatched that. It's a little 12-minute short, but it mentions like Mothra and Mecha King Ghidorah and stuff like that, and it's done with the marionette, the puppets, the Bunraku style, and it's a really cool little short, and I do recommend people to go watch that. It's Kaiju Bunraku. And then lastly, to close the loop before that, I'll talk about the two movies I did watch. So I did close out the trilogy for the Hayashiya trilogy and watch God Raiga against King Oga, and man, it was bad. And not bad as in, you know, Asylum bad as in bad fan film bad.
It's just bad.
It's just bad. I mean, they were using Nerf guns at one point to be a rocket launcher for a robot. There are some stand-ins that were just like static action figures. and it's just very like, I really like, and I'm going to say this, and I don't want you to think that it's denigrating what you guys do. Like, the stuff that you guys do in like a 2-day period with YHS is 45 times better production value than this film. Like the Kenner retro commercial that you guys just filmed for Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
That is way higher quality than anything that God Raiga and King Oga did. So it's another step below the other two on quality and stuff. And look, I get Hayashiya's heart's in the right place, right? Like, I mean, he loves kaiju. It's better than anything I could do. But, you know, if you pay money to watch this, you just have to be able to not just like bad movies, but like fan films, you know, and you have to like that type of quality and stuff. And it's it was a hard watch, and I don't recommend it. Of the three, I think my favorite was Rago, the first one. So
okay,
but well, I wouldn't recommend any of them.
Everything you just said though makes me want to watch that one. I kind of didn't really want to continue these, but I kind of want to see that one now. Hey, also, does this podcast end with us making a kaiju movie? Because
kaiju movie or kaiju toys, maybe both with the movie and the release.
Sounds like it.
Oh man, that would be hilarious. But so I did watch two movies I've seen before. But Golden Era of Toho, I watched Atragon. Actually, both of these have two of the better casts of the Golden Era of Toho. You have Atragon with Akiko Harada and Kenji Sahara and Hiroshi Koizumi, and you have Yoshifumi Tajima, and you have just this amazing cast. And I love Atragon, and I haven't seen it in a while. And it's definitely a kaiju flick because you do have Manda in there, even though Manda, it looks way better than later Manda looks. If you listened to our last episode, you know our thoughts there. This was the best iteration of Manda, but he still gets his ass kicked pretty easily by Atragon. But I love the set designs of the Mu Empire and all this type of stuff. I think there's a lot of cool, almost old Hollywood feel to it that I loved it. I love that part about it. But at the end of the day, you know, it's good. It's not great from a storyline perspective, a storytelling perspective. I mean, at the end of the day, they have massive genocide at the end, and it's like, okay, neat. The Mu Empire is dead now. So it's one of those that, like, I do like it. It has a place in film history, in Japanese film history, and it's a fan favorite for many. And I enjoyed watching it. I do think there's just a little bit more beefiness that could be added to the story to make it next level, where it's just like, this is amazing cinema. But I love it. And I loved kind of it talking about Japan's place in the world post-war. Cause obviously the captain, who comes back, he's living in the old world. Cause he didn't know that, you know, Japan trying to be part of the greater world post-World War II and stuff. And that's a cool little kind of theme throughout it. But I think they could have explored it even more. So, you've seen Atragon, like, what do you remember?
I haven't.
No, it's a good one to watch, man.
Do you know if it's streaming somewhere? Do you own it?
Okay. So it's the English version, is streaming on, actually, you know what? It might actually be the Japanese version streaming on Prime, Amazon Prime.
Okay.
But it's a pretty easy one to get a hold of.
I'll try to make sure that I watch it before the next episode.
It's a good one. It's like I said, it's great. Now the sub itself, Gotengo, is really, really cool. And I love the Mu Empire. I think that was the most intriguing and enticing part of the entire show. And it just, you're gonna be thinking, hey, this is, you know, only like 10 years before Seatopia, you know, maybe there's some connections there. Megalon and Manda might be buddies. The other one, I think you'll be really proud of me for watching, because it's actually classic Toho, but it's Honda and Cruz foray into, you know, more traditional horror. And I watched, and I've seen this, but it's been a hot minute. I watched Matango, Attack of the Mushroom People. But also, what a cast. You have Akira Kubo, Hiroshi Koizumi again, Yoshiya Tsuchiya, you have Kumi Mizuno, you have all of these amazing Toho legends, and that is a great film. I love it. I think it's really there to talk about kind of the encroachment of Western society and the Western world post-war into traditional Japanese society. And you see, like, with the mushrooms and everything, like, it's done so well. But watch the Japanese dub, because it gets a little campier in the American dub. The Japanese one has some more kind of poignant lines and stuff, but it's a little depressing at times, but it is a really good commentary on, you know, what the, you know, Honda and team felt like, okay, this is what's becoming of the new Tokyo, of New Japan, with this kind of you know, partaking in the mushrooms, the drugs of, you know, of the drugs of the Western way. And it's really cool. I think it's a great film. You know, it, for me, I'm a horror guy. So like, I found like things creepy and not jump scary, but like creepy and odd, especially for 1963 or whenever it was. I loved it. I really like Matango. I think it's a great watch. But do try to seek out the Japanese one. It'll be just a little extra bit better than the American dub. English
but both of these movies have been on my like watch list for a long time. I haven't seen either, and it's kind of that thing that I almost feel a little bad for not seeing them, because it's like I feel like as soon as I had learned about like G-Fan and started reading G-Fan, you hear about these two movies a lot. They're always kind of listed as kind of like kaiju outlier films, but really good films. So it's like I hear about them a lot. I know they exist, and they're always kind of been in the back of my mind to watch. But well, now I have to watch them.
Yeah, so. And you know, and the Japanese, like Atragon, is a fan favorite. Like it's one of those that, like, I mean, you know, in Japan, you'll see it like broadcast back, you know, every year. Like it's something that like people, it's a cultural touchstone, right? Attack of the Mushroom People, Matango. It's viewed as one of the best pieces of classic Japanese filmmaking. It really is held and critically in a really high regard. So it's one that I would absolutely recommend you watching. And I think you would like it just because of your horror chops.
Yeah, I'll look into it for sure then. Got to watch them, dude.
Okay, we can transition from mushrooms and everything about what's great about Japanese cinema in the 60s to... Godzilla versus Godzilla.
Let's do it, man. Let's do it. I watched this tonight. Nice. You know, I've been kind of busy, and it's been hard to find the time to put it on, but I was able to throw it on tonight. It's the first time I've rewatched the Japanese version in quite a while.
Yeah.
But I want to say right off the bat, I think I like this movie. Like I feel like before I went in, It's never been in my top. I think if I were ranking it, it'd maybe be in the middle to lower, you know, like it wouldn't be in the top of my films. But as I'm watching it tonight, I'm like, this movie's weird. And I like the weirdness. I like how different it is. And that first, I'm sorry to jump around.
No, this is fun. It's fun.
The very first time Godzilla pops up, his entrance in this movie, in front of that like weird superimposed red sun.
Yeah.
I was like, this is how he should show up every time.
And his very unique theme.
I like his theme in this.
Well, I'll say this. We can definitely kind of talk about overall themes here. Like I want to say this about Godzilla versus Hedorah, because I will be critical of it at times and I will give it its due in times. I would make this case for it. If there's three unique films in the Godzilla series that are uniquely their own and there's nothing else like them, I think those three films are the original Godzilla, Shin Godzilla, and Godzilla versus Hedorah. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any other film that have duplicated that. You have the classic horror serious film, which I don't think of Godzilla 1954. You have Shin Godzilla, which also serious horror vibe film, but like so unique and so different. Nothing else is like it. And then you have Godzilla versus Hedorah, which is this experimental avant-garde mixed media presentation that you don't see anywhere else in the Godzilla continuum. So there's reasons for that. And we'll talk about that, but I will say that I will never ever say Godzilla versus Hedorah is a boring film. I'll never say that it's a film that is, you know, doesn't try to do something different. It does that. And that might be its undoing in my eyes, is that it's just so avant-garde that I think somewhere Yoshimitsu Banu missed the point of tying it all back to Godzilla. Like I said, we can talk about that, but I agree. Like it's at the bottom of my list, but it's not because, oh, this is just another Godzilla movie, lather, you know, wash, rinse, repeat. It's not, it's unique. And like I said, I don't know if there's another one other than those two that I mentioned that can claim that it's, you know, uniquely its own. At the end of the day, like I said, I'm going to give this film its credit and understand its place in the Godzilla world. And that is by itself, nothing else is like it. And I think that's one reason I think it's cool that we're talking about this film as mm-hmm. one of these, as a standalone. And because, you know, we talked about not doing these types of shows, but this one is so much more than just, you know, a Godzilla film. It's so unique and it just opens up so many questions. So I don't know. I don't know if you feel that's also as unique as I do, but I view it on an island almost, on a monster island, if you will, with Shin and the original.
Yeah, you know, I do for sure. And you know, some of the things you're saying there about it being, it's weird because when I was watching it tonight, there are definitely moments where I'm like, this is great. There are moments where I feel like, this movie has a really powerful, it's kind of in your face too much at times, but yeah. The message here is really good. The fact that we're seeing death happening, mm-hmm. You see lots of human death in this movie and in not in a silly manner. And it's like, there are times where I'm like, wow, this might be one of the best, but then it's like those scenes are followed by just too much. I don't know, too much of that girl singing that same song over and over, people dancing with animal masks. And it's like, oh, what do you do? Or Godzilla flying, you know, it's just like, and I don't hate the Godzilla flying, but it's just like, you're kind of wondering what's happening at some, it almost feels like two different movies put together, you know, it's definitely an experiment.
Yeah. So that to me, I mean, I have it. And like in my notes, I'm like, it's that, I think a clumsily, you know, amalgamation of, is this going to be a horror movie with an environmental message, or is this going to be a tokusatsu, like want to compete with Ultraman and have Godzilla fly and get mad at humans because they can't figure out the freaking electric ray thing. And so I feel like it's just not, that's the pieces. Like I'm like, yeah. If he would have picked one of those,
either one, I would love.
The mixed media piece doesn't bother me. Like the animation clips and the talking head scenes and the really horrific imagery of like the baby in the sludge and all that type of stuff. Like in the black and white to color moment there. Yeah. All of that stuff is fine. It's just like, I feel like during the show at 10 different times, I didn't know if I was supposed to be engaging this as a horror film or if I was supposed to be engaging this as a silly 1970s Godzilla trying to be like what was popular in Japan at the time, which was tokusatsu on TV. Is this, you know, Ultraman, Super Sentai, or is this a horror film? And I think that was the thing. It just wore me out.
Yeah. It's just so much back and forth. I really like the beginning when they're kind of setting up like what Hedora is and he's like swimming through the waters and, you know, getting bigger and bigger. That stuff's all really cool. And then you have this scene where the kid is sleeping and he's superimposed at the bottom of the screen with Godzilla. He's like, and I'm like, is this Godzilla's revenge all of a sudden? Like, what is happening? I do want to say, though, it's funny that you said, you know, you would put this in a list with Shin and 54, because at one point I was like, this part of it feels like Shin Godzilla.
Yeah.
There's a scene where they're plotting out the different forms of Hedora and how he goes. And I'm like, this is straight up. Did Shin Godzilla just steal this?
And Godzilla versus Destoroyah probably stole a little of it too.
Yeah.
He also does the forms.
And there's also a scene where he's saying he says something about like, right now, I don't think this thing could come on land, but I hope it doesn't. I hope the next form. And then like two scenes later, Hedora's on. And I'm like, that is literally in Shin Godzilla. And I like that. I like that.
And to bookend it, you also have to think like, there's also some elements that Hedora must have taken from the original Godzilla, because you have a scientist who has one eye covered, who somehow saves the day with a wacky invention at the very end. So, but if you don't mind, if you'll indulge me for, like I said, like there's a lot of good podcasts out there that talk about movies. So this isn't something you'll see from us all the time, but I did do a little synopsis for those that might not have watched this film in a bit. And then we can talk about everything, but just
let's hear it, dude.
So we don't have to go. Cause look, we're not going to go scene by scene. You know, this is not more at all a thematic discussion, but this will hopefully get everybody.
I'm honestly almost tapped out on my thoughts of this movie.
Oh, we'll pull some more out. So here's my synopsis, and let me know if you think this is accurate.
Okay.
A microscopic alien life form made from a space mineral comes to Earth and begins to grow into a monster, feeding off the planet's pollution. It starts taking down tankers, then evolves to come on land, and then flies and kills thousands of humans along the way, but not a cat. Godzilla arrives and they do battle. Dr. Yano, a marine biologist, and his son discover Hedorah's origins and eventually that he can be dried up via intense electrical output. Meanwhile, Dr. Yano's nephew, Ken's uncle, who daydreams about reverse mermaids, leads an environmentally charged, we're all going to die, so let's party on Mount Fuji, and somehow brings his 10-year-old nephew. The party doesn't quite achieve the attendance he had hoped, but Hedorah arrives and kills Ken's uncle right in front of him, and no one cares. Not even the weird family of mountain folk that are inexplicably there. But Godzilla sends a telepathic message to Ken, because apparently he can, and shows up and battles Hedorah. It's a back-and-forth affair until the army miraculously builds two drive-in movie theater screens that shoot electricity beams, but can't seem to get it working. Godzilla, having a degree in electrical engineering himself, knows he can blow his radiation to jumpstart it, and with the help of the humans and some slick Ultraman moves, he defeats Hedorah by ripping out his two eyes from his stomach. Then another Hedorah pops out of his dried-out corpse. Then Godzilla flies, because apparently he can. The humans still can't get their electro ray to work, making Godzilla very angry. But he finishes off Hedorah anyway. There's also a girl named Miki, but no one really knows the point of her being in the story. And the movie ends with a tease of another Hedorah on the horizon. And that is Godzilla versus Hedorah, Godzilla versus the Smog Monster.
Dude, I love that. That was spot on. That was spot on. I like that a lot. And as you're saying that, it reminded me of a couple of things that I actually really like about this movie. I like this kind of trope in some of the older Godzilla movies where people are just doing experiments all the time. Like, you know, there's like in the middle of this movie, they're like pouring things into the vials.
Yeah.
That's something I like. I like that they just know what Hedorah is, you know. They're like, oh, he's an alien.
Yeah.
And then whenever they're talking about that, they kind of it brought forward thoughts and some visions of like a whole planet of Hedorahs, and like what would that be like. And I was like, that'd be kind of cool. Like it just had me thinking. But I also kind of really like the fact that at the end of this movie, Godzilla kind of has to team. He's like, you know, usually the humans sit and they're like, all right, Godzilla's going to do his thing and then defeat this guy. But it was kind of like a team up here.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something you don't see a lot. And Godzilla kind of getting annoyed and the machine not working is like, of course it wouldn't. Of course it wouldn't work. You know,
yeah.
I kind of like all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, the planet of Hedorah's, like I wrote down as like, what about this idea? Like, what if, and we'll talk a little bit about like Godzilla versus Hedorah 2 and all the controversy over that. But what if that was a film or a graphic novel or something where Godzilla is Monster Zero style transported to this planet and has to battle these microscopic life forms, which took different forms because they probably ate and grew on different pollution.
Right.
And that would be amazing. This dark, danky planet of pollution and him just having to kill all these things. Maybe bring all the monsters from Monster Island to battle all the Hedorahs. It'd be amazing.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
But so, you know, real quick, like background on the movie, and I think it does help paint a picture of this whole, why this movie exists is, you know, after Godzilla's Revenge, after the great run in the 60s, which, you know, obviously was, you know, Ishiro Honda, you know, Tomoyuki Tanaka was looking for some new blood. And he's like, we got to pump some life into this. And Yoshimitsu Bano, this, you know, very up and coming avant-garde type filmmaker, he pegged him to do this next entry in Godzilla. And if you'll notice, look at the cast. You don't see any of the usual suspects. Like this is an all new cast. It's truly this unique thing, but you know, there's no regulars in it, but Tanaka gets sick during the production. Right. And so he has no oversight on Bono, and Bono goes crazy. And, you know, Tanaka, and even though he did send a Honda to go there and oversee it, I'm sure that's one of those things where Shiro Honda was like, he walks in, he's like, okay, all right, I'm out of here. Yeah, but you know, and so famously Tanaka banned Bono from ever touching Godzilla again, right? I mean, he was like, you're fired, you know, whatever, you ruined Godzilla. After he saw the moment where I'm flying, he's like, you ruined Godzilla with this. And Bono, of course, thought otherwise, and he tried his whole life to get Godzilla versus Hedorah 2 made. Well, he started out, he was going to do the next idea that Tanaka scrapped was he was going to do it where Godzilla fights kind of like a red starfishy type monster that was called Deathla. And that didn't get made. And then he was really thought he had opportunity to do Godzilla versus Hedorah 2. And it was supposed to be in Africa. And he tried for a ton of time to get that made. And then he thought he was going to make it with Godzilla 3D to the max. But
I remember that.
And so that didn't happen. But a fun tidbit, this movie has so many fun tidbits. That's what was drew Legendary's attention, and Bono was instrumental in getting Legendary to secure the rights for Godzilla. In fact, Bono, even after his death, has an executive producer credit in the Legendary Godzilla films.
Wow.
So his impact on Godzilla, though only one film he technically directed, was, you know, expanded far beyond Godzilla versus Hedorah. But that was just kind of cool. And a couple other fun facts is this movie, like, it is a... You can go down the rabbit hole here forever. I thought you'd get a kick out of these. So the first one, so obviously Nakajima is playing Godzilla here, but Kenpachiro Satsuma is playing Hedorah, and he's the Heisei Godzilla, right? Mm-hmm. So he had to have an appendectomy during the shooting. They couldn't get him out of the Hedorah costume. He had an appendectomy done on set in the Hedorah costume.
How amazing.
What about a badass dude? I mean, like,
that's
oh my
the coolest
God.
Thing ever. That makes me want to buy some Hedorah toys. I know. I don't have any, but that makes me want them.
I know. That's like one of my, when I first heard that like a long time ago, I was always thought it was like, okay, whatever. But like, no, it's like, it's legit.
It's a real thing.
And then the other cool thing, I never noticed this until I was, until I rewatched it this last time. And I've seen Hedorah 1,000 times. And I think the last fight scene between him and Hedorah, for King Godzilla and Hedorah, he does the Ultraman pose. And that it, for a split second. And that was in honor of Agent Super Riot, who died right before this. So
I didn't catch that.
Yeah. So it's either the laser beam or one of his sludge balls he shoots at him. He blocks it in the wow. Space Jam Ray Ultraman pose. So I thought that was kind of cool. And then the other one that I thought was neat was not neat. That I'm going to edit that out. Neat's not, when you hear what this is, neat's not the right word.
Okay. But
they did, Bono did confirm that Hedorah's eye is patterned after female genitalia. So yeah,
I did read that. So speaking of his eyes, I want to talk about this scene where Godzilla rips his eyes out, because it is, I always thought when I was younger, I thought it was eggs. And if you look this up online, people are kind of split right down the middle with what is happening. They don't explain it in the movie what he's holding. He reaches into a dried out Hedorah and pulls out two whitish yellowish orbs. You don't know what they are. They don't mention it. He destroys them. They kind of look like eggs. I always assumed they were eggs, but there's an interview with I don't want to say his name wrong.
Bono.
There's an interview with him where he's like, they're his eyes. Mm-hmm. And he said that they're Hedorah's eyes. But the production for this movie was really rushed. Mm-hmm. They had something like 35 days to film the entire movie. Human and kaiju, everything. Entire thing was, I think, 35 days. Their budget was like less than half than what the other Godzilla movies were getting. So that was just the eye. Like, that was it. That's what they had. But I remember not that long ago kind of looking into that. I was like, I remember just one day I was going down a rabbit hole and I was like, let me find out if these are eggs or eyes. And I remember reading that. But then when I was watching the movie tonight, since I had like kind of had that little rabbit hole fresh in my head earlier in the, it's foreshadowed earlier in the movie. The main guy who's got the burnt face, he says something about the eyes being the most important part of the body. You know, he says something specifically, and I was like, oh
yeah,
They're his eyes. Yeah. Of course they are. Like, they don't look anything like his fucking eyes. No. His eyes are red and they're not that small and they don't look anything like that. But well, I think that's confirmation.
I when I was younger, I always thought they were eggs too, because after he rips them out, you still have the other one that shoots out of him.
And he has eyes.
Yeah. So that's why I thought it was, eggs as well. But then eventually I don't remember when I came over to team I from team egg, but it is interesting. Yeah. It would be nice if they were glowing red, or if maybe they repeated that line more than once.
why didn't they just draw pupils on?
I know, right?
They don't even have, there's just like, they have like black sludge on them and that's it from him pulling it out. And I'm like, they couldn't at least draw the pupils on.
Well, or they could have cut to Dr. Yano and he could have been like, Godzilla knows to tear out the eyes.
His eyes.
I mentioned earlier in this film, everybody.
Yeah. I just like, I like that little bit of foreshadowing and I never picked up on it until tonight. And I was like, oh, well, there you go. He literally says right here that Hedorah's eyes are the most important thing.
Another really cool thing about this film that, like, I think historical significance, because like I said, I think that it will always be a very remembered and I don't know, well thought of, but thought of film. Like, I think it'll be one that a lot of, there's, you know, from metal bands to whatever, like, you know, I mean, there's a reason Hedorah's in Safubi form more than any other kaiju. But the one thing is, like, if you really think about this, and I guess I never thought of it. I wouldn't, if you'd have just done a quick lightning round question, said, hey, Jay, what's the first movie where Godzilla's a real superhero? I don't think I would have said that. I would have thought, okay, maybe go back to like, Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster Zero, where he's not a bad guy, he's fighting worse monsters. Mm-hmm. But really, he never was like a flat out, straight up like Godzilla. I want Godzilla to come help me, and he's great, and he loves humans. It's always like, I'm a little nervous about you. I just hope you're the lesser of two evils. In this film, he's a straight up superhero. I mean, you know, Ken. Yeah. It writes him as a, you know, hey, come help us, Godzilla. He has apparently a telepathic connection to him. He is Superman, right? So this is the first one. And then of course we see it again in Gigan and Megalon and stuff where he absolutely is. But even those 60 ones, think of Destroy All Monsters, they're still like, he's coming in, or what, or sea monster, like, okay, don't mess with Godzilla. He's not our friend. He's just another monster that will kill this evil, more evil monster. And so Hedorah really brings him into that, what we think of as 70s Godzilla, even though the film has horror and death and tells you the number of people dying. Outside of all that, it's actually the first one where he is a Saturday morning tokusatsu hero.
I never really thought about that either. But I do love that the kid says the line, Godzilla is coming to clobber Hedorah. And he says it multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
Godzilla, he says the word clobbering multiple times. And I like that. So,
yeah,
dude, I don't know. It's weird. I do hope, you know, I've never been to G Fest, and you haven't either, right?
No, I have not. No.
I hope when we finally make it to G Fest, I hope that there is a party that happens where you're required to wear like an animal mask,
a fish head.
Yeah. I hope that happens, or at least we see somebody wearing that.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure it's like the opening night banquet. Something.
I'll be disappointed if we don't. I
and the whatever that song is, the Gaudy Bear.
You know, I liked the song at first, you know, at the beginning of the movie.
The opening,
I'm like, we're just going to keep playing the same song. Okay. Nothing new. All right.
Well, so one of my biggest gripes with the film, and I do think this is somewhere where it fails. And it's this, okay, we know what it's trying to talk about: pollution, environmental consciousness, all that type of stuff. Don't pollute. Two were issues with that. They don't give us a solution. Their solution is Godzilla's going to come and just create a nuclear-created giant monster to blow radiation to destroy the trash in the sea. They don't have a solution. It's not like, you need to do this. They weren't even like, hey, you should stop picking up the trash. Even the young generation who's represented here had already given up. They're like, hey, a green earth is only going to exist in our head now. Let's go party on Mount Fuji and die. So that was my issue. And then number two is more of a question I pose back to you. Would Hedorah been more powerful to the message, not as a kaiju. He's badass as a kaiju, almost kicks Godzilla's ass. But would he have been more powerful if he wasn't alien and he was earthborn? Like, it actually came from our pollution. Yes. Not just he fed off of it, but he actually was, you know,
he was, our fault. Yeah. I think 100% that's the way to go with it. And I get that it is a little ambiguous, even though, like, you know, he's like, oh, it came on a meteor. But it's like,
yeah,
what do you fucking know? How do you know that? But yeah, I think if it was maybe a little more explicit, and maybe they showed us that this Hedorah was kind of developing over the Earth's history or something. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, they could have definitely went deeper in that, and it would have worked way better for the whole pollution thing.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I did, I don't usually like, Hedorah is never really on my list of like favorite villains or anything mm-hmm. like that. But as I'm watching it, I'm like, you know what? They could remake this movie. They could
100%.
Like, they could remake a more serious, you know,
yeah,
just better made Godzilla versus the Smog Monster now, and it could be great.
I 100% agree. I mean, yeah, so Hedorah's a really, I mean, he's a cool kaiju. I mean, and I think he could absolutely be remade today. Yeah. I mean, looking back, I mean, like, the design is great. The design is really mm-hmm. cool. We talked about that in a previous episode, but he's huge. He's imposing. He's bigger than Godzilla. He does some cool shit to Godzilla. I mean, he puts him in the crater, the ravine, and then dumps the sludge on him.
I love that part. Yeah. Dude. That's like, it's almost like a WWF kind of move, but it's really gross. He's just trying to bury Godzilla alive in this gross, like, I like that part a lot.
Yeah, and you know, he Godzilla needs help. He really pushes him to his limit. And I feel like, I don't think Hedorah is a very credible opponent, and I think could be done really well. I think nowadays, to your point, I think it could be something that would be worth exploring. And I don't know, I think you could do something totally radically different with Hedorah, and it would be really cool.
For sure. I wonder if that's something like, as I'm thinking about it, I wonder if I would prefer it if it was sort of like a legendary, you know, Godzilla mm-hmm. 2014 type film, or if it was just something that maybe Toho did and whatever their next series might be or whatever. But I wonder about like what a modern like Hedorah redesign would look like. I mean, I guess probably, you know, they did it in Final Wars, but
I think maybe something a little bit further. I think they should like with Shin, they should be going a little further out there and different from the original, but still like same concept. Yeah. This movie overall, like, I think one of my key takeaways is there's just so many, like, what just happened moments in it that like, it almost takes me away from the film. You know, it's like, what? I had to rewind.
Right.
And, like, you know, what the hell's going on? I mean, whether it's the fish head dancing, whether it's the cat,
the cat. Just alive.
I think he lives. I think the cat lives.
I think the cat's alive. Yeah.
I do too.
I do love that one shot where something happens. All these people are in their house and like some sludge hits, goes to
the first
window.
Battle. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's that image of just all those bodies submerged. That shot is, that's disturbing.
Yeah. And that's when Godzilla's swinging him around in their first battle. And the sludge flies off. That's a great scene. And what about, speaking of disturbing, what about the man jumping off the building?
When
that was like, once again, that to me is like that scene, and then Godzilla's gonna come clobber Hedorah, you know. I'm like, it's they're just so disparate. I just can't connect them, and I'm like, you know, watching Suicide, or, you know, About to Die, and then watching a tokusatsu film show.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that I don't want to say ruins the movie, but kind of ruins the movie.
What about the party scene? What about the party scene on Mount Fuji? The weird redneck family that's kind of in the weeds.
They're just like, all watching.
Yeah, I don't. What's that supposed
it's
to be?
Very
and,
weird.
And his uncle dies, and like they don't even like kind of make like nobody even seems sad.
Yeah, it's very weird. So I know we were talking earlier about Singular Point and not trying to like look into too much or read too much.
Yeah.
There was maybe a couple weeks ago. Do you remember when I sent you whatever episode aired where there were different Cumungas, and I sent you the pictures of the. Now there was a tidbit in there about Hedorah, and I don't know if you read that or saw it. All right, well, I won't say it. But
no, you can do it. That's okay.
You want to hear it?
You can. Okay. Yeah, let's do it. Well, let's do it.
Apparently, you remember earlier whenever they were just. When the trailers were coming out and we were like sending each other screenshots like, oh, this looks like it might be Titanic. Remember I sent you one where it was like, oh, it looks like Hedorah's in this. There's like a blue, apparently. Now I could be wrong because I haven't seen this yet, but I think Hedorah in singular point is kind of like a parasite on one of the Cumungas.
Oh, wow.
It's like some sort of thing that lives on one of those insects or something. I don't have the full, but I saw some people talking about it and talking about, you know, this version of Hedorah being like a parasite.
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, that's kind of cool. I guess it's completely different, but I'm here for it.
Yeah. No, I think that's awesome. I mean, he's like I said, you could do some cool stuff with him. And you know, another thing about the movie that I have to give it a positive here. What about the fact they actually explain why all the fight scenes are at night? I love that. I mean, normally we just get them at night. They're like, hey, he tries to stay away from the sunlight. Like at least they tried to explain.
Yeah, give it to. That's fine. Yeah, I'm here for it.
So, hey, dude, I got to ask you though, because you mentioned it earlier, and I can't let you. We will be kicked out of the kaiju podcasting world if I didn't. If I let this slide, so Godzilla flying, you're cool with that?
Yeah. Well. This is the Godzilla flying. To me, I always grew up just kind of lumping in Godzilla's flying with Godzilla's dancing and Godzilla's drop kick.
Yeah.
It's like there's a couple moments.
Talking.
And his talking. There's a few ridiculous moments sprinkled throughout the films that I always just kind of lump in together. And you know, when I'm watching a movie, like part of this movie is really serious and that stuff I think really works. And when you throw in the drop or the flying, it doesn't mix.
Yeah.
If the movie were all silly, if it was all Godzilla versus Megalon, I wouldn't mind the flying.
Yeah.
It's the fact that it is in a movie that doesn't know what it wants to do. The flying doesn't really bother me. I think, you know, it's like, it's just one of those, like, every now and then, you know, in Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, he's magnetic all of a sudden. You know, like, he always, it almost feels like in those early days, they were like, hey, you know what? Every few moves, it feels like it was something that the directors were like, oh, shit, it's my turn to come up with, like, a weird thing that Godzilla can do all of a sudden. Telepathy, like, whatever. Yeah. He's got so many fucking weird things. So in that, thinking of it that way, doesn't bother me. Does it fit with the rest of the movie?
Yeah.
No.
I'm the same way. Like the flying doesn't bother me. It's like your point. Like it's Godzilla versus Megalon trying to be in the same film as the original Godzilla 1954 or something.
Yeah. You know,
and that's what makes it odd. But no, I don't know if that's any weirder than the drop kick than any of the stuff that you mentioned. I really don't. But like I said, it's the placement of it that is
odd. It's the placement. Because when I see the drop kick in Megalon, that's like a I cheer for that moment. You know, like I love the drop kick, but it's presented in a much different way than the flying is.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's the whole thing with this movie is that it's two movies squashed together in one. And am I supposed to be, you know, appalled and shocked by people jumping off of buildings and to their deaths? Or am I supposed to, you know, root for superhero Godzilla who can fly?
Dude.
I just don't know.
It's a weird movie. And I really do wonder if it is the case of somebody just being like, I'm getting to make a Godzilla movie. What do I do? Which way do I go with it? Well, I'll just do both.
I'll do both. Yeah. And like I said, Bono was very happy with it. You know, I mean, this is what he wanted to do. And maybe, hey, maybe we're wrong.
Good for him, man.
And that the juxtaposition of those two types of films was what he wanted to do. And he was like, this should be a thing. And we maybe were just too dumb to really appreciate it.
I mean, here we are talking about it. It's our first episode where we're doing a full movie thing. And we're talking about this one. Like, I guess it's better. I'm glad it exists. You know, I guess you could say it's better than just being like, oh, that's one of the serious ones. Oh, that's one of the silly ones. It's like, here, this is its own fucking thing.
Get both.
Its own fucking thing, man. It's all, that's all I can say for it. It's its own thing.
And you get some animated scenes and you get a little bit of everything in it. So
yeah. I mean, also the animated Hedorah is like, he's kind of creepier than the regular one, yeah. But it's like, he's kind of cute, but he's also kind of,
he's like a, he's got a veggie tail.
He's got a weird nose and mouth that I don't, that seems off-putting, but it's like, it's
very uncomfortable.
Yeah. I don't know who drew that. Why did you do this?
Yeah. So, I mean,
yeah, man, that's it.
That's, dude, Godzilla versus Hedorah. I mean, yeah. My final thought, I think if you've listened to the podcast so far, you know, I think I'm just repeating what we've said. A little too experimental, doesn't know what it wants to be. And, you know, are you a tokusatsu Saturday morning show or are you a environmentally charged pseudo horror film? Because you can't kind of do both. I don't think he achieved the ability or succeeded in doing both effectively. And you put them together, you just get a lot of like, what the hell just happened moments. And I feel it's more of that than something that, you know, that I would enjoy watching over and over and over. But here's the thing. I will watch this film and I will never regret watching it because I'm never bored. I'm just dumbfounded and confused.
Dude, I just, you know, I know we're kind of doing our final thoughts here, but real quick, one other thing that I think is very funny about this movie is the fact that the main dude, you know, he half of his face is burned, but he's always just got to lay down. Like towards the end of the movie, the final battle's happening and he's laying on his side in the back of the truck. Yeah. And she's like, oh, Godzilla just did this. And I'm like, he's watching.
Yeah.
I'm just like, why has he got all
I think
down?
He's milking
he's
it.
Always, yeah, he's, oh, yeah. He's completely, he's trying to get
the
that.
Sulfur burns. I think he's milking it.
Yeah.
It's like 100%.
Burns aren't that bad, dude.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Come on. I mean, Ken got burned on the arm and you didn't even notice it. And hey, dude, wait, how did he get a knife in that first scene? Who gives a kid a giant knife? Anyway.
Yeah, he does have that. I also thought
Crocodile
it was strange.
Dundee, Ken.
I thought it was strange that when he does that, nothing drips on him. You know, yeah. And I guess they were like, well, we can't kill off the main kid right away. But it's like, anytime Hedorah flies over anybody, he's like hundreds of feet in the air and he flies over people and they all instantly die. But he's 2 feet above this kid and the kid, he's fine.
Well, they knew that he needed to be ready for Godzilla versus Megalon and ride in that little weird dolphin thing in the pond. So like they had to protect Ken.
True. Exactly. Yeah, dude, I just say for final thought, you know, if anybody listening has not seen this movie, definitely watch it. It's
for sure.
It's a weird one. It's all over the place. There's some great stuff in it. Some weird stuff in it. This movie is an encapsulation of the entire Godzilla franchise. There's weird shit. There's stuff that makes no sense. There's some really great stuff. There's some good messages in it mixed with some messages that don't go anywhere. So fucking watch it.
But there's a doctor. There's that somehow just can pick up the phone and make things happen with the army and government without any backs. A Marine. Hey, cause you know, a lot of Marine biologists have like the general of the army on speed dial. And then you have a kid and you have a little bit of everything.
Dude. Honestly, like, I kind of hate that I'm about to say this, but if you look at this movie that way, about it just kind of being an encapsulation of the entire franchise, is this the best Godzilla movie?
it might be one of the best, I don't know the right word, aggregators of Godzilla tropes, maybe, and stock characters, but
oh boy.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Go out and watch it. And the cool thing about this one, I think a lot of people can form their own opinions. And when people tell me they like this film, I don't bat an eye. I'm like, okay, cool. That's awesome. You know, I can see why this would be somebody's least favorite and why it would be somebody's favorite. Totally get that.
That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it succeeds in that. It's one that I think that, you know, watch it with some friends and I'm sure you'll have just a rip roaring good time.
For sure. Yeah. If you watch this, let us know what you think. Shoot us a message if you're watching it for the first time. I want to hear about somebody's first experience with this movie. So yeah, let us know what you think. You know, thanks for checking us out, man. Thanks for listening. Please give us those reviews. I just want to know that people are listening. I need the attention.
I just want to
Want to know if they love us, though. If they only like us, if they think we're five stars, I want to hear from you. If you don't think we're five stars, you just don't say anything.
Please. Just don't say anything. Or just lie. Yeah, dude, that's all I got. You got anything else, Jay?
I don't, but also I just always like to plug this. I mean, Jake is too humble to do it, but go check out Yes Have Some podcast, YHS Prime, if you will, and all the great stuff that they're doing. Go check out the hit, the sensation, Jake and Abby and Craig and the Kingpin of Canadian Collectors, Ryan Dole, on Toy Anxiety. It was every Tuesday night on YouTube. Yep. I know you have a podcast feed as well. That thing is just, oh my gosh, it's huge. And then there's the Bad Bitches, I know, for the Bad Batches out there. And there's God knows what. We'll wake up next week or tomorrow and there'll be seven more YHS shows. Dude, but there's so much cool stuff. Yeah.
Appreciate it, Jay. You're right. I don't like that part of the show. I don't like having to pitch all the other stuff. I appreciate it and do everything that Jay just said. And we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Hope so.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
Don't pollute.
Yep.